Track 1. Stretton Handley School.
During spring 2011, Stretton Handley School's years 4, 5 and 6 pupils helped transform former head teacher Mrs. H.T. Badham's web-based Woolly Moor Trail. They scanned old school logbooks and interviewed 6 older members of the community to learn more about the village and its surrounding area to create an audio trail. This is what they learnt.
Two theories exist as to the origin of the name Woolly Moor. Some say it comes from tufts of sheep wool caught upon brambles on the moor. Others say it comes from the old English words woolly, meaning wolves clearing.
In any event, this medieval village has changed considerably over the years, none more so than towards the end of the 1950s, when the construction of Ogston Reservoir began, and the village was literally moved uphill. Today it comprises the hamlets of Handley, Woolly Moor and Woolly, about 140 houses in total.
Please remember, some of our trail is along narrow lanes which have sharp bends and no pavements. Remember to face the oncoming traffic and to keep children and animals under control. You are also advised to dress sensibly for all weathers and wear strong footwear. Alternative routes are marked on the downloadable map for pushchair and wheelchair users.
Each point of interest along the trail is marked with a post bearing the Stretton Handley School logo, and it seems fitting to start outside our school, which was built in 1969.
With your school on your left, head down Beresford Lane and around the sharp left-hand bend. Take care at all times, as there is no footpath. Less than 100 metres after the bend, the road crosses a stream. Stand here outside Lineker Cottages and listen to track 2.
Track 2. Lineker Cottages.
Lineker Cottages go back a long time.
Yes, they do.
Because my great-granddad lived there when he first came to Woolly. But he was a wheelwright, the one who came here, and he came with his son, who was my dad's granddad. And he actually made things like that. They came from Holt Tucknell, and he made the ladder for the church belfry in Holt Tucknell.
Lineker Cottages were built at the turn of the 1800s and are now known as Lineker House. Mrs. Nellie Hopkinson came to live there in 1920 and recalls it was a small holding where her father kept cows, horses and pigs.
There were no electricity, just gas lamps. There was no mains water either. All the water was carried from the local well that we will visit later. Baths were taken in a tin bath in front of the fire, and the toilet was an earth one situated down the garden path.
Killing their own pigs, curing hams and bacon, milking cows and hay making were all in a day's work for the residents here.
In a moment, continue along Beresford Lane and then turn left at the junction with Temperance Hill. Follow this road until you reach the crossroads. On your right is a triangular field with rusty metal gates. This was the school garden, as Mr. Fox explained.
During the war, it was a vegetable garden. But when I went there in the sort of 50s and 60s, it was a flower garden around the outside and a lawn in the middle, and we used to play rounders on it. And if you were really good, you could get Elbert Road into Bradley's at the other side.
On your left is St Mark's Church. Feel free to wander around the outside of the building as you listen to track 2.
Track 3. St Mark's Church.
For 100 years, this building served as both school and church to the community, and for this reason was known as a church school. Reverend Oldham founded it in 1869, and up to 90 pupils were crammed into the 3 partitioned rooms. A stove provided heating. At the end of each week, the tables were tidied away, ready for Sunday service. The school logbooks reveal what life was like in the late 1800s, and how different it is today. The first entry is dated 15th of January, 1875.
Miss Fairbanks opened the spring term with 24 children and found them very obedient but very backward.
On the 20th of November, 1890, a blocked flu delayed lessons.
It was impossible to go on with the proper lessons until about 9:30, as the school was full of smoke from the stoves.
On the 8th of March, 1880, a summary of the inspector's report read,
"The order is creditable, but the attainments of the children are poor. The desk and benches, the slates and slate pencils require attention. The boys' urinal ought not to be placed in full view of the high road."
There were plenty of entries relating to naughty children.
Richard Wilson threw a stone in coming to school this morning and killed a chicken, which he bought in his jacket to school. I took it from him and told him how very wrong it was, and also of the dangers of throwing stones.
Had to send William Short home this morning. He was so very dirty and untidy.
The police came to school this afternoon to warn Harry Madison, as he had done a little damage to the school door.
Had to punish Frank Hanbury, William Parks and Sarah Ann Hardy for taking a child's dinner.
Two of these naughty pupils only came to Stretton Handley to avoid diseases at their local school.
Frank Hanbury and Harry Madison have returned to Clay Cross School, as they only came here until the smallpox was better.
However, it seemed Frank hadn't completely avoided medical treatment during his time here.
I sent Frank Hanbury home because he had a ringworm on his face.
From the Temperance Hill Road junction, turn right and head along Ash Avenue Road. Using the footpath on the opposite side of the road, after 250 metres, turn right onto the public footpath, which is along the farm track. This is the second public footpath you will come along this road. Listen to track 4 in front of the farmhouse before the track bends right.
Track 4. Handley Fields Farm.
Although not visible from the track, a carved date stone on the farmhouse reads 1590. Until 1958, the view from this farm into the valley below would have been very different, as Annie Fox's account of life before the reservoir reveals.
In days gone by, Woolley House, a large country house, was run as a hydro and took in visitors all the year round. Attached to it was a small village store where you could buy anything from a small box of matches to a cubic weight of corn. In the yard at the back was the old joiner's shop, which was used by the local undertaker. Later the house was sold and divided up into 6 small cottages. The shop, 11 other cottages, and the old public house Napoleon's home, all will soon be destroyed by the new Ogston Reservoir, built to supply industry with millions of gallons of water.
It was Richard Turbot of Ogston Hall, which stands nestled in the trees across the valley, who had first put forward his land for the scheme. His son Gladwin explains the industrial demands put on the area.
Near Wingerworth, the National Coal Board had built a plant called a carbonisation plant. Don't ask me about that, but it needed 1 million gallons of water a day. And the local water authority hadn't got 1 million gallons of water a day. So it was decided that they'd build a reservoir. And so they lit upon this nice valley, Derbyshire Valley, and the sad thing is there's no carbonisation plant in Wingerworth at all. That's all gone. So history has come, history has gone.
The reservoir was first completely full and ran over on the 23rd of February 1960.
But back to Annie Fox's recollections.
The old sheep wash too has been destroyed, where local farmers used to bring their sheep for washing. The bridge across the river is being raised. Cranes, concrete mixers and bulldozers spoil the quiet countryside. The old mill too has gone. It used to be driven by a water wheel and was well known for miles around. No more will carts take rough stone in at one side of the yard and sawn blocks out at the other.
The day the water finally reached the top of the dam was a poignant one for Mr. Fox, whose granddad ran Napoleon's home.
I know that because that was the day of my granddad's funeral.
Continue straight on and follow the public footpath through the hedge. Immediate turn right, hugging the hedgerow. As you approach the new farmhouse, cross the stile and turn left to rejoin the track. Head down to the end of the farm drive and listen to track 5.
Track 5, Temperance Hill.
Can you see the wooden box on the left at the entrance of the drive? What do you think this was for?
This was where the farmer placed the milk churns when they were ready for collection.
They did used to collect milk churns on the train at the bottom.
Yes.
There, the railway lines at the bottom, the main railway line.
At Stretton Station.
They used to put, yeah, my grandfather came down. I've come down with him. Put milk churns on the train.
Stretton Station provided the main line connection to the Ashover Light Railway, a narrow gauge railway that ran between Claycross and Ashover. It mainly carried minerals to the Claycross works, but passengers also used the train too, as Hilda Hopkinson recalls.
Because all I can remember about it, these hard wooden seats, and the train was so crowded that I had to sit all the way on Auntie's knee until we got to Ashover, and the train seemed to go so slow. And the same was, one could jump off the train and pick a bunch of flowers and jump on it again.
When the reservoir was built, part of the railway, which closed in 1950, was submerged under the reservoir.
To learn more about that story, you can download the Ashover Light Railway audio trail from North East Derbyshire District Council's Hidden Gems website.
On our left, on the other side of the road, you can see a row of cottages, Temperance Hill cottages. These were built at the turn of the century and are some of the oldest remaining houses in Woolymore.
At the rear of the first two cottages is a small brick building, originally a stocking factory. After the workers had finished their stockings, they would dye them with damson juice from the fruit in the nearby orchard. It was said you could always tell a resident of Woolymore by the colour of their stockings.
There used to be many more cottages here once.
Yes. Where were the grass pieces at the end?
Yeah.
That was a row along there.
That was a whole row of houses.
And they've been demolished.
I just think there'd be 15 or more in that row, wouldn't there?
There must have been. I think I can name all who lived there. It was a lovely row, actually, and there were good, strong stone houses. There were no bathrooms or anything like that, no. No electric. We had gas. The gas mantles used to break when we lit them, and yes, but they were happy days.
Let's now head to where the residents of Temperance Hill cottages got their water. Carefully cross the road and walk over the grass, keeping close to but on the left-hand side of the wall. Head down the steps and listen to track 6 on the bridge over the river.
Track 6, Well Lane.
This is the stream we saw running past Lineker Cottages earlier in our trail. It is so clear, fresh water, shrimps can be found here.
This was also where the local people came to collect fresh water in the days before houses had plumbing. Imagine carrying buckets of water up those steep and sometimes slippery steps.
But people didn't just dip their buckets in the river. There was a well, Can you see the remains of it?
It is in the corner of the wall just on the other side of the river, directly in front of you. It looks like a stone bench now.
If you are quiet, you may spot all kinds of wildlife down here. Why not spend some time here and listen to what birds you can hear and how many insects you can find lurking under the leaves and stones?
Although remember to leave everything as you found it.
And take care by the water.
Before you leave, you may even want to play a game of poo sticks too.
When you are ready, cross the bridge and follow the path uphill. You will soon join Berryside Lane halfway between Lineker Cottages and our school. Turn left and look for the stone stile into the field. On your left, about 25 metres further along this road. Listen to track 7 at the gateway in the dry stone wall, nearly 3/4 of the way further along this footpath.
Track 7. Dry stone walls.
If you've got local stone and you can put it together in the form of a wall, it's much easier to do that than trying to cement every bit together. I mean, you have to get all your cement and so on. But in the old days, it became quite an art. There were wallers, and I watched a modern dry stone waller, and it's not just a question of putting stones together as I would do it. You have to select all your stones, you have to know how to build the foundation, and gradually build it up to the top and taper it, and it's a skilled operation to do it really well, and I admire a really beautifully made wall.
These walls are a striking feature of the Derbyshire country landscape. They are built with two faces and have fillers in the middle. Three stones give extra strength, and capstones or coping stones are placed on top.
You put through stones to tie the thing together. At certain points, you put a long one through to tie it in.
If the through stone is sticking over your property, it belongs to the person next door.
Right.
Some stone walls are 200 years old. They were built when the Enclosure Act of the 18th century caused huge open fields to be divided into the size of the field which we are more familiar today. This occurred as farms showed ownership by consolidating their strips into one parcel of land and enclosed it with a boundary. The simplest way to build this boundary was to use the stones lying in the field. In Derbyshire, it was mainly gritstone formed by rivers flowing over limestone and covered it with layers of sand.
When a wall was constructed, if a stone was picked up, a place was found for it in the wall. No stone was ever put down. Sometimes a talisman was put at the base to thank the earth gods for allowing a wall to be built in that place.
From this position, you can see nearly all the places we have visited, plus our next stop. Continue along the path until you reach the end of the field. Cross the stile and turn right onto Whitehorse Lane. Please be careful as there is no footpath. Listen to track 8 outside the Whitehorse Public House, the first building on your left that you reach.
Track 8. The White Horse.
The White Horse is an old coaching inn built in the 1700s. In days gone by, the front room was used as a courtroom for the local area, with a visiting magistrate in attendance. If found guilty, offenders were taken to the Greyhound at Milltown, where a cell was kept in readiness.
It was common practice for commercial buildings like this to display signs for those unable to read, and inn signs have a long history.
The old sign on this inn used to show a horse and cart carrying a badger of salt. Badger was an old name for a measure of salt.
We will learn more about Badger Lane at our next stop. Before we do, head through the pub car park and down to the gap in the wall. Look into the distance and you should be able to make out the former quarry at Milltown directly in front of you.
It was the minerals found here that encouraged the Clay Cross Company to build their light railway, and mining was a common occupation for villagers in this area.
Yeah, lots of people who lived in the village were miners.
A lot of the people
worked at Morton Pit as well later on, didn't they? The miners used to walk.
We even had a pit in Woolley for a short time in 1950s.
A drift mine in Woolley Moor one time.
If you look down in the fields down there, there's a sort of half-round building in the field, and that's what remains of the colliery. It was only open for a short time because they had a lot of geological problems with it. The idea was that Pilsley Colliery was running out, and Woolley Moor were going to take over from Pilsley, and it was all under the same manager. That didn't work out because they ran into all these geological faults and they couldn't get the coal. I mean, I remember emitting a fault when I was little and hitting some rock somewhere and it lifted our stone bench in our pantry at home.
Crossing to the recreation ground and head towards the gravel car parking area to your right, taking notice of the three old stone cottages near the corner of the field. Head along the narrow lane between the houses and turn right. Listen to track 9 when you reach the road. Keep an eye out for traffic.
Track 9. Badger Lane.
We are now standing beside Badger Lane. This was an old turnpike road that carried passengers and goods. The Toll Bar House, the cream building on your left, at the end of the road, was where the tolls were collected. These fees paid for the maintenance of the roads.
The hamlet of Badger Lane is the oldest part of Woolley Moor. Until the 1940s, only the Toll Bar, the White Horse Inn and the three stone cottages you passed earlier were to be found here. Imagine what life would have been like.
Today, Badger Lane has many newer houses. It was here that many residents were relocated when the reservoir was built.
We have now come to the end of our trail. We hope you have enjoyed it. Turn right and you will soon pass by numbers 2, 4 and 6, Badger Lane's oldest cottages on your right. Turn left along Beresford Lane and you will soon arrive back at our school.